It is time for the Tan and the J-Man show on this March 11th, 2024 day. Balmy here, really nice, in the 60s. Feels like spring, and in my opinion, this week is the best sports week of the year.
Best sports week? You like this better than start of the NCAA tournament?
For sure. There's games every day. The games are usually really good. Also, there's significantly less pressure for your team to go out and win the Big Ten Ten tournament as there is in the NCAA tournament. So
that's a good point.
Big Ten tournament's kind of just gravy in a sense. Great sports week. Got a lot to talk about. Conference tournaments all week long. NFL free agency. The legal tampering period opened up today, and a lot of big moves already happened. So lots to talk about. T-Dog, how you doing tonight? Didn't even ask how you're doing.
I'm doing good, J-Man. Like you said, the weather's nice. I don't like daylight savings time. I don't like this time change.
Yeah.
But it's something we got to get used to. But I'm doing good. Big Ten tournament should be fun. I think there's a couple teams maybe. I think one needs to do a little bit that's on the bubble to get in, and another one just can't probably lose in bad fashion in their first game, I would say. A couple other teams can make it interesting, I suppose, if they win multiple games.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that. But like you said, within the NFL free agency, I mean, every year we kind of learn of some deals popping off before it's official that they can. But I don't remember it like today. Today was pretty crazy.
Yeah. I love the way NFL does free agency. And I've been on record saying I wish baseball did that, where they have like a day where it's just a flurry of moves, get people talking about them, instead it's just long and drawn out. The NL Cy Young winner hasn't even signed anywhere yet.
That's crazy.
We're in the middle of March, so baseball needs to take a page out of the NFL's book. The NBA does it pretty good too. It's about the same as the NFL, but start a free agency, heading into the draft's pretty fun time in the NFL.
Yep, no doubt. NFL never sleeps. We've been on record saying that many times. But my birdie or bogey question I brought with me tonight is college basketball related. Well, let me bring it up here. All right, pretty straightforward question. Name the last team to win the NCAA basketball championship that had double-figure losses during the regular season.
That's a really good question.
It's only happened three times.
Three times. The last team to have done it. All right.
Yep.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and a casual atmosphere located 13703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. They had smoked prime rib over the weekend, as well as all-you-can-eat fish. Every Monday night, $2 whole smoked wings and $1 off domestic brewski. And this month is something month that I cannot remember.
Well, I talked with the owner yesterday, and Mondays are pretty much from now on pizza night, too.
There's a pizza night now. All right.
Uh-huh.
Seems like Monday or March was like pie month or something like that. I don't remember. Go get some delicious food at the Arlington Public House.
Yes, sir. Can't go wrong with anything on their menu. On their menu at all. Well, you want to get educated real quick?
Yeah.
All right, let's learn about some sporting events that have happened on this day on March 11th. We're learning together here because I have not looked at this. Hopefully it's better than last week's was. On this day in 1892, the first public basketball game was played in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Mm. Is that where the Hall of Fame is, Springfield?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Let's see here. Okay, here's a good one. On this day, 1917, the first NHL championship game ever was played. The Toronto Arenas beat the Montreal Canadiens 7-3 in the first of two games set. Second game was later played on March 13th.
It's about the last time Canada's won a Stanley Cup. Probably wasn't even Stanley Cup back then.
Let's see. Here's an interesting one. On this day, 1941, Bronco Nagurski regained the world wrestling title from Ray Steele in Minnesota after losing to him a year earlier. That's, of course, the Hall of Fame NFL player, American football player, I should say, back then, Bronco Nagurski.
There's an award named after him in college football, right?
Yes, there is.
Is it an offensive line award or defensive line?
One of the two. I don't want to go out and say because I'm not sure off the top of my head. I want to say defensive line.
I think it is defensive line. Offensive line, something else.
I wonder if that'll be part of NCAA College Football 25, since the Biletnikoff Award and the Maxwell Award aren't going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird to me because those awards, they used to be on the games. I don't know. Whatever. More players than not in college football are opting in to be on the game. So
except Arch Manning.
That's the main thing, right? Well, yeah, Arch Manning, that's whatever. He's getting paid enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see here. A lot of ACC basketball tournaments. I'll say 1986, the NFL adopted the instant replay rule.
86, huh?
86.
Wasn't really a rule, was it? Because they couldn't really review.
It's a replay rule, but I don't know what that entails. I don't know if it's just instant replay itself, but replay was before 86, I want to say.
Huh.
I don't know, though. I don't know. Let's see here. A lot of figure skating. A lot of tournament. Big East, ACC. None of it's like the championship, so I don't want to. On this day in 2020, the NBA suspended the 2019-2020 season until further notice after Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, that was quite the day.
Yeah, it was. Four years ago this week was pretty much the shutdown of the world.
Yeah, I'll never forget, you know, the NBA shuts down, but the Wednesday night of the Big Ten tournament is still going on, and Fred Hoiberg is on that sideline sick as a dog. Mm-hmm. You remember that? He had his head down, he could barely even look up, and that's when I think we kind of knew that,
I remember watching
that. I don't even think he had COVID, is the thing.
He did not. I was watching that wing center with my dad, and remember seeing that. We kind of looked at each other, we're like, sports aren't going to be played for a while starting tomorrow, are they?
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of what was a very weird, unprecedented time.
I remember middle of February that year, I read an article like, the NCAA tournament might not have fans this year. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. I remember that too. Yeah. Yeah. This is a bunch of clickbait. This is garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but little did we know. But Tan J Man Show got through it. Still kept firing off episodes every week somehow. We had to get really creative, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
A lot of lists. People got tired of our lists.
Yeah. Thank you for The Last Dance on Netflix. That helped.
That too. But that is the Honest Day segment this week, which is brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas, with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces make a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting their Instagram page or their Facebook page at Mooney Woodcraft is their handle on there. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. So perfect gift for Mother's Day coming up in May, for Father's Day coming up in June. Not too early to think about that. Maybe for her birthday. Heck, you can even give her Christmas. I know we're only in March, but get your Christmas shopping done early this year. Contact Thad. He can make you a sports sign, military sign, family sign, growth chart, whatever you may need. If it's something he can make out of wood, he will. So get a hold of Thad. Tell him the Tan and J-Man Show sent you 15% off your first sign order. All right, J-Man, you want to talk some college hoops?
Do it.
Let's do it. It's regular season is done. Done and over with. The Power Six conference teams were the only ones that were playing regular season games this past week, as the mid-majors, majority of the mid-majors at least, were having their conference tournaments, and got some chaos. Got some chaos over the week. We saw whatever conference High Point's in. I don't remember off the top of my head, but they were the one seed, and in Longwood, the five seed, beats them by a point. So there's a bit stealer right away.
Yep.
And then throughout the Atlantic 10, Atlantic Sun, Atlantic 10, no, Atlantic Sun.
Atlantic Sun.
Atlantic Sun had some chaos in their conference tournaments. Then you had the Missouri Valley, Arch Madness, which is always kind of crazy. Yep. Drake holds off a huge comeback attempt by Indiana State yesterday. It helps when Drake shoots 61% from behind the arc. So as of right now, Joe Lunardi has the Indiana State Sycamores as one of his last four teams in. But that's before everything that's going to go down goes down this week.
If you're in Lunardi's last four in, or even first four buys, and you're done, you're probably not going to get in. Let's be honest.
You don't want any upsets. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Indiana State, the resume is not that good. I know they won 28 games or so. They have one quad one win. 23 of their 28 wins came against quad three or below or non-division one opponents. So that hurts them, which a lot of it's not their fault because teams aren't wanting to schedule an Indiana State who looks to be really good. Michigan State did. They ended up beating them in East Lansing. Yeah, it's tough because I think Indiana State's better than, you know, Mississippi State, Villanova, Virginia. I'd much rather watch an Indiana State than those guys.
I would too, but I don't know. I see both sides when it comes to this because you put Indiana State in a SEC or a Big East or a Big Ten, they don't win many conference games. So I see both sides. I know the underdog is what makes March Madness March Madness, but
I just don't want to see Virginia in their under 50-point scoring. That is a miserable watch.
Yeah.
Same with Villanova. Villanova's terrible this year, and they should not be in. But I think the committee would probably put those, you know, high majors in over a mid-major like that.
Well, and this doesn't really – this is a bad case because they play each other, and you already mentioned Michigan State beat Indiana State. But you got to think if they didn't – and they were pretty close. You know, they're going to give a nod to Michigan State just being who they are and who is their head coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michigan State's another case. I don't know why they're as safe as they are.
It's because of who's their head coach, and he's loved by the committee.
They lost 4 of 5 towards the end of the year. Their only saving grace is that neutral court win against Baylor and beating Illinois at home. So if Michigan State gets in, you can thank Illinois for choking the 7-point lead away with 6 minutes left. But, yeah, I don't see how Michigan State's as safe as – the metrics love them for some reason. I don't get it. They have a loss to James Madison. James Madison's good. They ended up 28-3, and they did survive a scare yesterday. They were tied with, like, 6 minutes left against a team that's 8 games under .500 in their conference tourney. But they have – still, you can't lose to James Madison at home. They have home losses to Iowa and Ohio State. I know those are quad twos, but you cannot lose a home to those teams. There's just not a whole lot of meat on those bones besides, you know, the KenPom metrics, if you will.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I did not watch a lot of the conference tournaments this week or this past week. But this week I attended to tune into a good majority of them. But what else do you want to cover from last week around the country?
Stetson. I think you mentioned the Atlantic Sun.
Yes, I did.
First time ever making the NCAA tournament, so that's pretty cool. It's always cool when that happens. It was a really good game, too. And then who got
Jalen beat? Jalen Blackman put up 43 for him.
Oh, man.
From Fort Wayne, James Blackman's younger brother.
There's another Blackman? How many Blackmans are there?
I think this is the last one.
Is there, man, James Blackman played about a decade ago now. Who else? Somebody got upset. Oh, App State got upset last night on a buzzer beater. And App State was a projected like 13 seed. They won that conference pretty easily, but they're not going to make it now. So, and this stupid new NIT rule is really dumb that the NCAA put out. Where if you win your conference tournament or if you win your conference regular season, you get an automatic bid to the NIT. Obviously, if you win your conference regular season and you're a high major, you're going to make the NCAA tournament. But for teams like or on low majors like App State, there's no guarantee they make the NIT now, which is absolutely asinine, which is just the NCAA stepping in once again and making the worst decision possible like they do time and time again. And so now there's even more pressure on those one seeds to get to win their conference tournament, just to get in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Other news around the country, of course, in Big Ten play, going into last week, there was still a chance that Illinois and Purdue could tie for the Big Ten title, but Purdue was able to get one of their better road wins in, I don't know, many years, at least in my opinion, over your Illini. It was a hard-fought game, and then they turned around and then took care of Wisconsin yesterday in a game that, I mean, I think most people thought they could take care of business pretty easily, you know, on senior day, this and that. But there wasn't a lot to play for besides the fact that with yesterday's win, Purdue team became only the fourth Purdue team to go undefeated in Mackey Arena during the regular season. So, good week for Purdue.
You also don't want to lose Zachy's last home game.
That's true.
Yeah, as well. But, Yeah, elsewhere around the conference, there wasn't a whole lot of news, honestly. The game of the week was the Purdue-Illinois game, and it was a really good game, and then Purdue just made enough plays late.
They've been doing a good job of that lately. There's some statistics I wish I would have saved on my phone. They're kind of the last 4 minutes of the games, more times than not, they've been making winning plays this year. So,
which is why, you know, they're 29-3 or whatever they are.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. More wins in the regular season than any other Purdue team. So.
Yeah. Iowa had one game this week. They were strictly on the bubble. They fought their way back to the bubble. Really needed to win yesterday against Illinois, and Illinois went in there and manhandled them for the most part. Got up 21, then Iowa cut it down to 4, but then Illinois just kind of pulled away late.
Yep.
Tony Perkins is an Illinois killer. He scored 32 against them last year in Iowa City, and on his senior day, 1 of 11, missed a dunk, had 2 points, so that's a pretty brutal way for him to go out. But
There's a chance they'll see each other again.
There's a very good chance. It's real tough to beat a team 3 times, as we always say. But I think Illinois matches up pretty well with him. And, I mean, Illinois already blew out Ohio State once. And Ohio State's a lot better now, winning 5 of their last 6 under Jake Diebler.
Ohio State's a team that's interesting coming into the tournament. Because if they beat Iowa and then somehow beat Illinois – all of a sudden, do you start talking about them potentially getting
I think if they get to Sunday, they're at least in the convo, maybe even Saturday.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because, I mean, it used to be more so the committee would look like, well, how have you played at the end of the year? And if they were to get to a Saturday, I mean, that'd be, you know, 7 of 8 wins heading into the NCAA tournament, 7 of 9 wins. So at least they'd probably be in the conversation. I don't think they would ultimately get in unless they win the whole thing. But it'd be an interesting case with how they're playing.
Look at some other teams. Indiana's won their last 4 games, came out publicly, and announced Mike Woodson's coming back next year. That led to Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal announcing yesterday they're coming back to Indiana, which wasn't a real surprise, I don't think, to too many people. It'll be interesting to see what that roster looks like next year. But what do you think they got to do in the Big Ten tournament to get in the conversation, or do you think they're already in the conversation? To get an NCAA tournament.
To get to the tourney? No. I think they have to win it, honestly.
You think they got to win the whole thing?
Yeah. No, their net ranking's terrible, and that's because they couldn't blow out the low majors they played. You know, they'd win the games, or they win by 8, 10, which is kind of what the Big 12 has kind of been accused of as net manipulation, if you will. They schedule a bunch of terrible teams, and they just blow them out, and that's why their net ranking's so high. Now, that's a really good conference, but it's not right, honestly, that happens in that because if you win the game, who cares how you do it as long as you win it.
Right.
I think Indiana has to probably win the whole thing. I think majority of bracketologists would say the same thing. They'll likely play Penn State unless Michigan somehow, which Michigan's completely thrown in the towel. They're done.
I mean, historically, they're very good in the Big Ten tournament, but this Michigan team's awful.
They're terrible. Yeah. Then they'd have to get past Nebraska, and then either Illinois, Ohio State, or Iowa. And honestly, I think they'd be rooting hard for Illinois in that one, so they could get that quad one win, because the other two would not be quad ones.
Sure.
At least get an opportunity to play the quad one. And then, I mean, you'd have to, obviously, if you win it, you're in. But I do think they'd have to win it in order to even be in to get in.
I think they'd get in a conversation if they beat both Nebraska and Illinois on their way there. I don't know how much it benefits them to be Nebraska and then either Iowa or Ohio State compared to Illinois. But we'll see. I don't know. I know they're playing better. Don't get me wrong. I know they're playing better, at least the last four games. But I still got my concerns for this Indiana team.
Yeah. Honestly, really good win in Minnesota. I will give them that. Beat Michigan State at home. It's a game you honestly should win at home, which Michigan State and Indiana now, I believe, have the exact same record. And Michigan State is safe. So that's,
And they're two seeds worse than Indiana in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, good home win against Wisconsin a few weeks ago as well. And then who else did they beat in that stretch? At Maryland, which is also pretty tough. So they are playing much better basketball. It's pretty, at least for Indiana fans, nice to see them after, they had lost four straight. The natives were getting restless there to bounce back and find a way to win games, especially four straight heading into the Big Ten tournament. So they got a little bit of momentum headed in there. But
well, it's really the guy who's been at fault by the fans' standpoint for a lot of their problems this year, Xavier Johnson. All of a sudden, he's kind of lit a spark under them, and Cleo Ware's been playing very, very good. So,
yeah, Ware could be an interesting case if he wants to make the leap to the NBA, because they'd be in real tough shape next year. They'd have to hit that portal hard, and
I think you're gonna have to hit hard anyway.
Yeah, regardless. And there are already rumors that Woody doesn't really like to recruit a whole lot, and I read a rumor last week that he schedules all his recruiting visits in Florida so he can go golfing, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, well, if that's the case, you don't need to be a college basketball coach. Right. But that's neither here nor there.
He reminds me so much of Lovie Smith. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
A lot more success than Lovie had, but very similar. Very similar demeanors, too.
Well, Lovie had more success as a pro coach than Mike Woodson.
Significantly more.
So. Yeah. How about Wisconsin? What if they lose to Rutgers or Maryland? Could they be on their own side of the bubble?
No,
you think they're pretty
safe? Yeah, they're real safe. I mean, you look and I think the lowest seed I've seen them at is a 7. So there's no way they can drop that many.
No.
Many lines. They obviously don't feel all that good heading into the Big Ten tournament and in the NCAA tournament anyway. But I think they're pretty safe. That win at home against Marquette looks really good.
That's true.
But and they did win in Michigan State, which is a good win. But other than that, I mean, their resume is not all that impressive.
Yeah. Before we do our predictions for the Big Ten tournament, I don't know. I haven't checked my phone lately. Did the Big Ten awards come out today, or is it later this week?
Tomorrow at noon Eastern time.
There we go.
So
well, who's J-Man's first team all Big Ten?
I'm going same as Andy Katz. I go.
Was going to, too.
Yeah, Zach Edey, player of the year, obviously. Yeah. Braden Smith, best point guard in the league, top five in the country. Best pure point guard, I should say, because Boo Boo, he's really good, but I wouldn't even call him a point guard. Terrence Shannon, for sure. I think Marcus Domask should get it over.
He's tough.
Over like a Jameer Young. There has never been a guy who played on Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament on that first team, so that's why I don't think Young gets it.
Yeah.
And then Boo Booey is a shoo-in, I would say. I would say there's three locks, and that's Edey, Shannon, and Booey. And then I think Smith and Domask could go either way, but I don't really know who you'd take over them, to be honest.
I don't either. No, I'm right there with you. I agreed with a lot of what Andy Katz had to say.
I did too, which is not very – except
the assistant coach of the year, which maybe Diebler can't qualify now since he's been mainly head coach. But Martelli was a head coach for Michigan too at the start of the season a little bit. So
yeah, he was an interim. I mean, they didn't call him an interim, but you look at it though, Martelli went 5-6 in his game, and Juwan has 3 wins since then. So
I've been saying on the podcast, I don't know how they bring him back. I don't know how they bring him back, but all of a sudden, like, there's no chatter of not really bringing him back.
Yeah.
So he might be back.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
She's okay with me. I'm okay with Michigan being bad at basketball. They've been
that's fine.
An absolute terror the previous 12 years and up until last year. So
and they're terror in football.
Yeah.
Last 5 years, big time. Of course, they're national champions.
They are the biggest fair weather basketball fans. No one showed up to senior night. I think if Purdue, I mean, Purdue had those terrible teams in 05, 06, 04. They still packed that place out.
More Illinois times than not.
Senior night would have still packed that place out if they were 8-20 something. So it's pretty pathetic showing yesterday from Michigan fans.
Yeah, they've been that way for at least a month. Ohio State is pretty similar too.
When it comes to
basketball.
Yeah. The game, it was Holtman's, I think, second to last game when Illinois played there, and it felt like a COVID era game because it was so quiet.
Yeah.
It was a rough watch.
It was even quiet when Purdue played there in Diebler's first game, but it didn't matter because Ohio State pulled off the upset. So
yeah.
All right, you ready to predict the Big Ten tournament?
Do it.
All right, let's start with the first game, which is on Wednesday. It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on the Peacock. 13th seed Rutgers, 12th seed Maryland.
Man, both teams have kind of just thrown in the towel. I have a real hard time picking Maryland, but Illinois needs them to win two of them. Unless the net rankings are done. Because yesterday, Maryland came in 74th in the net rankings, lost to Penn State, dropped to 77. So the quad one win Illinois had turns to quad two. The quad two loss turns into a quad three, which is bad. So win a few games there, Maryland. Give me the Terps.
I'll take Rutgers just to be different. And just because you need Maryland to win, I'll be the jerk.
Honestly, the Wednesdays are such a coin flip, except this one, in my opinion. Yeah, Penn State.
It is wild though. Like four of the last 6 years, one of the seeds between 11 and 14 has won like two games.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Speaking of 11 and 14, that is the game 25 minutes after the conclusion of Rutgers Maryland. That's 14 seed Michigan, 11 seed Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah.
I think they're playing some decent basketball right now. Ace Baldwin's really good point guard defender. Mm-hmm. Michigan's got nothing. They have Doug McDaniel and then a whole bunch of nothing. And even Doug McDaniel probably wouldn't be that good on a better team. So,
yeah, he can play outside state of Michigan now, right?
Yeah, he definitely can.
That was weird.
I wonder if because an 11 through 14 seed winning two games, I wonder if it's because they get that one under their belt, they get the shooting background down, they kind of
– true.
So who knows?
It goes both ways. I think that, but then you also look at, they could have some tired legs, and fresh legs.
I think we'll both be rooting for the games between the teams we will be playing to go like quadruple overtime.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the team that in this game's got impact to my team plays, of course, that's the 8-9 game at noon Eastern time on Thursday on the Big Ten Network. 9 seed Minnesota, the home team, since Minneapolis is the host city, which is still weird to me for this, against the 8 seed Michigan State Spartans.
Minnesota was a good story there for a while, but they've kind of not played very well here the past week or two. Michigan State as well has limped into the Big Ten tourney, and I think if Michigan State loses, I don't think they feel all that comfortable on Sunday. Give me Minnesota just because it's in Minnesota.
I'm going back and forth on this. I kind of want to take the Gophers just because what you said, it's in Minnesota. I got to think they're going to have a decent fan presence, but who hard telling. But I think Michigan State is the more talented team. I am taking the Spartans in a very close one. I could see it going either way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a coin flip.
5 seed Wisconsin, then you have them against 12 seed Rutgers. I have them against 13 seed. You have 12 seed Maryland. I have them against 3rd seed Rutgers.
Give me Wisconsin. Don't feel all that good about Wisconsin winning any games, but I think they get it done there against Maryland.
Yes, I am taking the Badgers as well. 10 seed Ohio State, 7 seed Iowa, 6:30 Eastern time on the Big Ten Network on Thursday.
Tough to beat a team three times if I'm looking ahead, I should say, to who Illinois will play. And they just played them yesterday, but again, I think they match up pretty well. Ohio State, I think I'd rather play Iowa, honestly, than Ohio State with how well Ohio State's playing. Give me the Buckeyes in that one in a close one. I think getting Iowa having their bubble burst a little bit yesterday has some lingering effects heading into the Big Ten tourney.
Yeah, I'm taking the Buckeyes as well. Another coin flip game, but I'm a believer in momentum, and the Buckeyes have been playing really good lately. I agree. So. Indiana against Penn State.
Give me the Hoosiers. Penn State went in there and shellacked them in Bloomington and then shellacked them in Penn State.
Yeah.
Tough to beat a team three times, but Indiana's playing some decent basketball right now, and I think they get it done.
I agree with you there. I'm going with Indiana in that one as well. So you have Purdue against Minnesota. I have Purdue against Michigan State. This game's at noon on Friday, noon Eastern time on Friday.
Purdue takes care of business. They only played Minnesota once, and they found themselves down 8 in the second half. Mm-hmm. I don't think they let that happen again. I think they manhandle them a little bit.
Yeah, Minnesota could not miss for a good majority of that game. Purdue, it'll be interesting either way. It's only going to be the second time they face either Michigan State or Minnesota.
Yeah.
They played them both once each, and it was at home. I think Purdue takes care of Michigan State. It's a team they've had a lot of success against the last 5 years, no matter where they play, last decade at home, but 5 years. Izzo will probably guard Edie one-on-one, and Edie's going to average 30 points like he does every time against Michigan State. I don't understand it.
Especially with who Tom Izzo's big guys are.
Yep.
Absolutely stupid. He didn't go out and get a big. He's relying on Carson Cooper and a whole bunch of nothing. Matty Sissoko. Yep. They're all terrible.
Yep. So we both have Wisconsin winning the game on Thursday. That would put them against the 4-seed Northwestern Wildcats on Friday.
Northwestern took care of Minnesota on Saturday. Lost a tough one in Michigan State when we scored 49 points. I think Wisconsin matches up pretty well with Northwestern, especially with no Ty Berry. Langborn is back, though, for Northwestern. I don't know about Nicholson, but I think Wisconsin gets it done, and they feel a little better about themselves.
Yeah, you got to think they'll have more fans there than Northwestern. But I'm taking the Wildcats, but this was a really tough one. I mean, 4-5 every year in the Big Ten tournaments, usually a good game and usually a coin flip. But I'm taking Northwestern in a close one. Illinois against Ohio State is a matchup we both have.
Illinois, if their defense played like they did last night against one of the best offenses in the country, hold them to a season low 61 points. They could really honestly make a run to the third weekend if their offense keeps playing well. They had good contributions from about everyone last night except Justin Harmon. Justin Harmon, I don't think, set a shot in 4 weeks.
Not a Illini favorite against Purdue. From a couple of Illini podcasts out there, we're pretty angry that he was playing so much.
Yeah, Underwood loves him because he's a veteran, but he's 2 for his last 17 from three. He hasn't hit one since they played Maryland 3 weeks ago.
But he's due. He's due then.
He is due. I'll give him that. He's a solid defender, but he's gone scoreless his last two games. Picked up 3 fouls in the first half against Iowa. Quincy Guerrier had his first double-double in a month and a half. That was huge from him last night. Shannon's going to get his. Domas is going to get his. Danger was awesome last night. Give me Illinois by 6.
Yeah, I think Illinois wins. Actually, I'll go fairly comfortably in this one.
I hope so. They have not won a Big Ten tournament game since they won the thing in 2021. So,
yeah, well, they definitely do. And then Nebraska against Indiana is the match we have for to cap things off Friday night.
Tominaga, 12 of 17 from the floor yesterday. Best bad shot maker in the country.
Oh, yeah, easily.
It's unbelievable.
Frustrating when we're playing against them.
I'm taking Indiana.
I'm taking Nebraska in this one, I think.
All right.
I think, yeah. I don't know why. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Indiana beat some, but Nebraska beat them twice. It's hard to beat a team three times, but I think Nebraska finds a way to get down. So I have Purdue against Northwestern for the CBS 1 o'clock Eastern time Saturday game. You have Purdue against Wisconsin.
Give me Purdue. Regardless of who they play, I think they take care of business fairly easily.
It's hard to be a team three times. That's why maybe I'm hoping that they play Northwestern. And if they play Northwestern, it's going to go into overtime. The first two matchups went into overtime.
Ty Berry is not walking through that door, though.
That's true. That's true. About Boo Booey. It's killed Purdue every time he plays them, but I think Purdue would win this matchup if it comes to that on Saturday. Then you got Illinois against Indiana. I have Illinois against Nebraska. So I went chalk. I went chalk for my semifinals. How boring is that?
It's so easy to do, though.
It is.
Illinois and Indiana played a tough one. Illinois did not play very well at home, and they found a way to get it done by 8, I think. I just don't think Indiana has the guard play to – really stay with them. Indiana did play without Khalil Ware, though, that first matchup. So that could be a difference maker because Malik Renu killed him. And then you add a Ware to that, and that could be causing them issues down low for sure. But Shannon had just come back. I think it was the second or third game, and he was not that great. So you get a healthy Shannon, don't mask. I think Illinois would take care of business.
Yeah. Hard to disagree with you there. I am picking Nebraska over Illinois just to make it interesting for our predictions, because I think a lot of people probably thought we'd both go Purdue against Illinois, the championship. We've done that a lot over the last few years.
We really like
on our Big Ten really tournament, which is a testament to both of our teams, which put themselves in good position. But I'll take Nebraska just to switch it up.
Nebraska did almost go into Champaign and beat them. Went to overtime, and Illinois found a way to win.
If they're hitting shots, they're tough. If they're hitting shots, they're real tough. So.
That Rink Mast really causes some issues with his ability to shoot the three ball, inside there. So,
And as a Purdue fan, I want to try to get revenge on them. Purdue only played them once, and Nebraska took them to the woodshed. Purdue didn't get a chance to play him at Mackey, so I'd like another crack at them. So that's part of my prediction too. So you have Purdue against Illinois. I have Purdue against Nebraska. That'd be Sunday, 3:30 Eastern time on CBS, the last game before the selection show.
This will be the J-Man's Book It prediction of the week. The Illini win the Big Ten tourney.
Go on. It's worked out for you so well last
week. I know. Well, hey, just like Justin Harmon, I'm due.
Yeah, you are.
J-Man, oh, they're going to lose Friday, and it's going to ruin my entire weekend. And I'm going to throw my Uncle John out there. He's a huge Iowa fan. Back in 2006, I think. It was the Adam Hluski year when they lost to Northwestern State. He said it was the first game on Thursday.
It
ruined his entire month. He didn't watch a single second of the rest of the tourney. He said it was the first game and they lost. But
you know, that happened to me last year, of course, with Purdue losing their 16 CBOs on Friday. And I'm already looking. I think Purdue's pretty much got the Midwest number one seed locked up, which would be Indianapolis and then Detroit. Indianapolis is Friday, Sunday. So I'm already like, well, at least I can enjoy one day of the tournament on Thursday.
Yeah.
No matter what. Yeah. So.
J-Man's Book of the Week brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance Agent Travis Watchering for life. Home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com.
Well, I'm going to say Purdue gets revenge on Nebraska and wins the Big Ten tournament title for the second year in a row and the third time in their program's history. You know, Big Ten tournament and all conference tournaments are weird to how you view them, but my philosophy is if your team's good enough, go win the whole dang thing if you can. At least you get a trophy, a banner to hang up in your arena, have something else to show for the tournament, show for the season, no matter what happens in the big tournament in the NCAA tournament. So,
tournament curse is very real, though.
But it is real. It is real.
Someone's got to break the curse. So
yeah, well, somebody in the Big Ten's got to break the curse of doing something in March eventually. Yeah. So, hopefully Purdue can stay healthy. Two scary moments to be in the arena yesterday when Zach Edey went down holding his ankle, and then especially when Braden Smith went down on the referee's foot holding his ankle and then had to go to the locker room, but then came back and then played. So glad they can rest up till Friday.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun tournament to watch, no matter what. So, I don't have any other tournaments up, but unless Butler pulls some magic out of their hindsight and in the Big East tournament, and Indiana gets on a run in the Big Ten tournament, and Notre Dame pulls the miracle of all miracles and wins the ACC tournament, Purdue's probably going to be the only school out of Indiana to make the tournament.
I think a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or two ago, you said to watch out for Purdue Fort Wayne, but they got
lost to Oakland.
Pretty.
So,
Eastern Washington has won like 27 games each of the last 2 years and have gotten the one seed in their tourney, and they lost last night to a 10-22 team.
That's
brutal.
What does John say?
The epitome of brutality.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So. You want to just go down and pick our winner of each conference, starting with the Big East.
Big East, UConn. Nah. UConn.
I'm taking Marquette. Get Tyler Kolek back and healthy. They're dangerous. So
Watch for Creighton.
Yeah. Yeah, Creighton's a wild card. They can get hot, but they can lose to anyone.
Heck, watch for St. John's.
St. John's is playing some good basketball to the point where I think Lenardi has him as one of his last four.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
After all that whining Patino did a few weeks ago, it clearly worked.
So, yep.
ACC.
Carolina, Duke. I'll take Duke.
Duke cannot beat Carolina, so give me Carolina.
I know they can't, but I think they're due.
They are due. Give me Carolina.
But it's weird. Like, usually in ACC, we're thinking of other teams. I don't even have any other teams.
Virginia sucks.
Yeah.
Florida State used to be good. They're terrible.
Well, Miami's not good this year.
Clemson's good. They're projected good. Seed. Yeah. So I haven't watched Clemson once this year, though, so I don't know really much about them.
Wake Forest is a bubble team, but I don't think they win it.
No, yeah. Wake Forest had a bad few games. They're losing to Notre Dame, and they lost at home to Pittsburgh or Georgia Tech, somebody bad that they should not have lost at home to.
Yeah, ACC's pretty bad.
Yeah, it hasn't been that good the past couple of years, and yet they continue to get teams in the national title game.
Yep.
What other? Big 12.
This is a big fun one. Iowa State lost to Kansas State. Got Houston that shellacked Kansas. Don't know how healthy Dickerson is coming into the tournament. This is a good conference. There's a lot of good teams. Yeah. Baylor can make a run. I don't like them. I think they're overrated even where they are. I'm taking Kansas because they're really good in this tournament.
They are. This is Self's maybe worst team over the past 15 years, maybe. And they're still really scary. They've dealt with injuries to McCullough and obviously now Dickinson, who separated his shoulder, which, I don't know if he'll play this week. That's a rough injury. And it was his left shoulder, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. He grabbed it quite – I was watching it live, and he grabbed
it. His shooting shoulder. So who knows if that'll even be – man, Houston is just ridiculous.
They are pretty good.
So give me Houston in that one. Kelvin Sampson. Top 3 to 5 coach in college basketball.
Yep. He's pretty good.
The final Pac-12 tournament.
Arizona.
I don't trust Arizona as far as I can throw them. They're probably going to be a 1 seed, maybe a 2. I could see them being the next team to lose to a 16, next team to lose to a 15. And then I could see them winning the whole thing. They are such a wild card. They had a terrible loss over the weekend to, was it Arizona State?
Yes, I believe
they lost to somebody real bad. Washington State's good. That conference is terrible though.
Yeah.
So Arizona should win it, and I'm going to pick Arizona, but again, don't trust them.
Yep. And then the SEC.
Kentucky's playing some good basketball. Reed Shepherd, I saw some mock drafts today that had him going 1-1.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy. He's shooting 52% from three this year, and he shoots a lot of them. So best shooter in the country, and they're playing some good basketball right now. They're a trendy national title pick.
Yeah, they're scary right now on a 4 seed line. Yeah. A lot of people have them. That's pretty scary for 1 seeds. So you're taking Kentucky?
Yes.
I won't let myself take Tennessee because I don't like their fans. I just want to be different. I'm going to take Florida.
I'm not picking South Carolina to win it. I don't have the offense. Their defense is really good.
Yeah.
But, who else is in the SEC that could – I don't think anyone could even make a run besides Tennessee, Kentucky, or Florida. Maybe South Carolina. No. Give them that.
I agree.
But Vanderbilt's terrible.
LSU's not good. Arkansas's Auburn.
Auburn's pretty good, and Alabama's pretty good, too, so they can both.
Arkansas's made the most disappointing team in the country.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Georgia's okay, but not good enough to win it.
Mississippi State's a bubble team, but you say they stink. So.
Yeah, I don't think they're very good, but they'll probably get in.
Yeah. Yeah, Ole Miss. You never with
Chris. The SEC is pretty good now that we're running through the league.
This is only a 382nd episode of this podcast. I mean,
yeah, the SEC is pretty solid.
Oh man! All right, we want to shift gears, talk some NFL free agency.
Let's do it. I actually have my pick 6 has mainly NFL guys, and then 2 college basketball guys. So
All right. Well, if we want to do that, and then we can get on free agency.
Let's do it. Chris Jones.
Yeah. One of the best defensive players in the NFL. Great defensive lineman. I already thought he wasn't going to be a Chief. I already got myself hyped up, pumped up about it. They thought they were moving on from him, I think. Huge deal. He's back.
Massive.
Yeah. AFC West is low outside of Denver, is loaded with good defensive linemen everywhere.
Yeah. Sticking with the Jones, Chris's brother, Mac.
Yeah, a good joke there. I thought he was going to get dealt. I wouldn't have guessed Jacksonville was going to be the spot he was going to land as a backup quarterback, but they pretty much – Jacksonville pretty much traded half a stick of bubble gum for him.
Yeah.
So, you could do worse for a backup. So yeah, it's a lot. I don't see, you know, I think it's fine.
Yeah, definitely needed change of scenery for Mac.
I'm glad he didn't go to Denver because supposedly Denver sniffed around a little bit on that. So
Yeah. Speaking of Denver, Justin Simmons.
I hate to see Justin get released. Understand why they did it. It freed up a lot of cap, and he wasn't guaranteed to re-sign with them after this year. But he's a Denver guy through and through since he got drafted by him in 2016. Feel awful he never played in a single playoff game.
Yeah.
Multi-time Pro Bowler, multi-time All-Pro, great community guy. And wherever he lands, I'll root for him, but I hope it's in the NFC somewhere.
Yeah, I'm with you. Austin Eckler just signed with Washington, so at least he's out of your division.
Good.
Baker Mayfield.
Good for Baker getting paid. 3-year contract, $100 million deal with the Buccaneers. I've always rooted for Baker, no matter – I don't know why, ever since he's at Oklahoma, no matter where he goes. So, yeah, with him in behind center, I think they're the favorites again in the NFC South.
Yeah, it's a very winnable division for sure. Yeah. I think now that Atlanta – signed Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Maybe they're the NFC South, right?
Incredible risk there, a 36-year-old coming off an Achilles tear, giving him 45 mil a year. Flipping gears, college basketball real quick. Second straight week I've had him on this, but Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah, I kind of felt bad for him when the court rush thing happened. Yeah. Now I don't feel bad for him anymore. He's turning into – I don't know how Duke does this, because last year he was not that hateable of a dude. Now he is. It's like they teach them these dirty antics and how to become hated. I mean, they watch tape of Grayson Allen or something. It's incredible.
Yeah, they are they're an incredibly cheesy cheesy team who's always does things the right way. They always have the most dirty players. Grayson Allen, dirtiest college basketball player I think we've ever seen.
I agree.
Filipowski, of course, he got court stormed and cried as he was carried off and then didn't even need x-rays because his ankle wasn't that bad. And now he trips a guy. With the same leg. And he got up acting like the floor was slippery, like he slipped, which was ridiculous. Which I don't know why in the moment players are thinking maybe I can get away with that. But there's so many replays out there. They're not going to get away with
just it. Dumb. You can't get away with anything on the basketball court.
He should be suspended, but he won't be.
Yeah, so. 100%.
Last college basketball one here, Mike Woodson.
Oh, Sleepy Mike, as I call him. my wife is like, why do you call him Sleepy Mike? It looks like he's sleeping all the time.
It does.
Yeah, the university comes out and says they're keeping next year. Then they rattle off 2 wins in a row or 2 wins this week after that announcement, 4 wins in a row. Big year for him next year in Bloomington, but he's safe for another year. So we'll see. I still don't think he's that great of a college basketball coach, though.
Yeah, he had some pretty concerning quotes saying he thinks the college basketball game still played inside out. You look at the teams that win the national title, guard play, guard play, guard play.
Yep. And maybe you should learn your names of the transfer portal guys visiting your campus.
Yeah. That was pretty embarrassing for him. I wonder who that player was. I wonder if it was Dickinson, which it shouldn't be because he's in the Big Ten. He was in the
Big
Ten.
A lot of people thought it was what's-his-face from Tennessee.
Tennessee? Okay.
But there was also rumors he never visited, and he did a Zoom interview. I think it's Caleb Love.
Really?
Interesting. I think that's who it is, but I could be wrong.
So. I don't think they would have been all that much better. Caleb Love's okay. He is he is a much better version of Xavier Johnson, but they're the exact same kind of guy.
Yep. But that's a good comparison. But good list.
Huge offseason for Woody.
Yep. I like that list. That's the Pick Six segment brought to you by Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2024, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for a fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Yeah, NFL free agency. The big news of the day was probably Cousins, right? Going to
Kirk Cousins, 4-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons, big time money deal for Kirk. His agent is awesome.
Yeah, he's made $411 million. He signed $411 million worth of contracts, and over 300 of that was guaranteed.
Good for him.
And he has one playoff win in 12 years. So
he likes that.
His agent does a great job, and especially as I said, 36 year old coming off an Achilles tear.
They're going all in, man. They've been thinking they're a quarterback away, and they do have some offensive weapons. So
I think should Kirk be healthy week one, I think makes them a lot better football team. So
yeah, I take back what I said earlier about Tampa being the favorite. I think a healthy Kirk makes them the favorite to win the NFC South.
Yeah. Yep. The Dolphins are a significantly worse team now than they were yesterday.
I agree with what Daryl Love says here on Facebook. Best agent ever, Kirk Cousins' agent.
Yep, 100%. For sure.
Because, I mean, he's not bad. Don't get me wrong, but he's not a world mover by any means either. He's pretty consistent. And
definitely good enough to take Atlanta to the playoffs, especially in that division. That division helps. And I read today that it looks like the Vikings are going to shift their focus to Sam Darnold. How many chances is that guy going to get to be a starter?
I know another team that's sniffing it. They've been rumored for him too. So you want to hear the rumor I heard today, Josh.
Let's hear it.
And they might still draft the quarterback, but Darnold or Zach Wilson to compete with Jared Stidham. Yay.
Yeah, that'll really get the juices flowing heading into the season. Speaking of Bronco quarterbacks, Russell Wilson signs with the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot better than Kenny Pickett.
Steelers and country, let's weld.
Let's weld. Let's furnace. Broncos are paying him what, $38 million to not play?
Yeah, I don't mind this deal for the Steelers, to be honest. It's a veteran minimum really deal. It's a lot of upside with little risk.
Yeah.
You got to think the Steelers are going to try to be a run first offense. Be interesting with Mike Tomlin. I think they'll be able to get along, but I don't know how he's going to fit in with Arthur Smith, former coach,
man,
the new OC. He likes the over the middle passing game. That's something Russell struggles with.
Wow.
He can't do that. That's why he has to move around so much. So it'll be interesting. I am interested when the schedule comes out, when that Denver game is going to be, because that Denver, got to think that's going to be a prime time game. So.
Yeah.
With the storyline, I mean they did it when he was with Seattle, or went to Seattle as
his first game though, right?
Yeah,
I think that star is kind of off Wilson at this point.
I bet you they still make it a primetime game.
Thursday nighter sounds good.
Lord.
I think it's a good deal for the Steelers. I mean, $1 million. It's about the league minimum for a vet. So
if he can't get it done there though, he might want to just retire.
He's not giving up that money. He'll still hang around. At least I would. But, if he can't get done there, because there's a pretty good team around him. I mean, they almost made the playoffs this past year with just horrendous quarterback play all season. So if he puts together numbers like he did last year for Denver, they should be pretty good, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what was I saying? Miami Dolphins, much worse team today than they were yesterday. Christian Wilkins signs a $100 million deal with the Raiders.
Him and Crosby are going to be nightmares for everyone.
Dolphins. Yeah, I'm glad the Dolphins didn't do it. I wish they would have, but I'm glad they didn't at the same time, because that's a lot of money for a defensive tackle. But he was the absolute glue for that defense. High motor, great leader, and it sucks to see him walk out that door and put on a different uniform. Robert Hunt as well. He signed a $100 million deal, and he's a guard with the Carolina Panthers. So Dolphins lost him as well. Lost Jerome Baker, lost Xavion Howard.
Brandon Jones.
Backup safety Brandon Jones.
Starter for Denver for multiple years now. You know, here's what's crazy. Denver top three safeties now. They're two starters and their top reserve all played together at Texas.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, Brandon Jones, third round pick. He was the Dolphins starter majority of his 4 years there, and then he tore his ACL. Actually, at the game I was at when they played Pittsburgh on Sunday night back in 2022, and then he just wasn't all that healthy early in the season. He started to have to play a lot towards the end of the year because Holland got hurt and Elliott got hurt, and he was fine, but really good blitzing safety. I'll give him that. I think he had a 5-sack season, which is pretty crazy for a safety, but. Yeah, Dolphins are a worse team today than they were yesterday, which is not great for a team that has been a 7 seed in the playoffs the past 2 years.
Well, Saquon Barkley's got a new home within the same division. Yeah. He's a Philadelphia Eagle now.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. We got the Packers signed Jacobs from the Raiders.
Aaron Jones is better, in my opinion.
And released Aaron Jones. What else happened? The Packers also signed New York Giant defensive back McKinney.
Xavier McKinney.
Baker. Well, Gardner Minshew's got a new home out in Vegas. So he's going to compete with Aiden O'Connell for the starting job unless they draft somebody. So you got the mullet against the stash out there. What else happened around the league today?
I saw Brian Burns was traded from Carolina to the New York Giants, and the Giants gave him $86 million guaranteed.
DeAndre Swift is the new starting running back for the Bears.
Speaking of the Bears, now that Cousins is in Atlanta, Wilson's in Pittsburgh, where's Justin Fields go?
I was thinking maybe the Raiders. Then they got Minshew. So I think he's got to be a backup somewhere because I don't think they'll trade him to the Vikings.
Watch out for Seattle. Seattle sneakily, if that's a word, needs a quarterback because Geno's not it. Maybe. Seattle. Yeah. I don't really see him out in New England. I think they'll draft
him. They don't keep him and draft Caleb, do they?
I can't imagine. That'd be such a nightmare of a storyline to try to deal with out there.
It is the Bears.
It is the Bears, although they are staying in the city instead of moving to the burbs.
Yeah, they need to make up their mind when that comes to that. Colts re-signed Pittman, 3-year deal.
Yeah.
They didn't really make any free agent moves. Why the whole AFC South is, they haven't really made any free agent moves. And one more thing I forgot, Broncos traded Jerry Jeudy to the Cleveland Browns.
That's right. Yeah. The Browns, turned, I think they traded a 5th for Amari Cooper and a 6th for Jeudy? 5th and 6th for Jeudy. So they might have given up more for Cooper.
He's got a ton of potential. He's got more career jobs than he does career touchdowns. He's got to get that figured out. But when he catches the ball, he's one of those guys you can take to the house at any moment. So I think it's a good fresh start for both sides. Yeah. It just wasn't going well.
It never seemed like it clicked out there for whatever reason.
Nope, it did not. So be ready for that birdie or bogey question again. Let's hear it, man. Name the last team to win the NCAA basketball championship that had double-figure losses. It's only happened 3 times.
So 10 losses or more, huh?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who won. UConn won last year. They were pretty good. I'm going to go with, was it UConn in 2014 or whenever that was?
That was my guess.
Ah, shoot.
Who? But no, they had 9.
Oh, son of a gun. Because they were, 7 seed? Something like that?
Yeah, they were a 7 seed. Because that year was the 7. Oh, no. That was a different UConn team. But they did lose. The team you are talking about lost 9 games.
Shoot. So who was it? You cut out, or have you not said yet?
It was Kansas in 1988, led by Danny Manning.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
The other two teams that do it was NC State in 1983 and Villanova in 1985. So the 1980s,
I should have thought about Villanova because they were an 8 seed, I think, when they won.
Right.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
We're tied at 3 over because we're terrible. So
yeah, we're not the best.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and Jamin Show. We'll be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.